Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Right. Hey everybody, Inside College Soccer, we are excitingly live from the convention. You know, we're not used to doing podcasts in person. Usually it's on Zoom, but now we just get to grab our buddies, college coaches, and bring them on over and have a little talk about what they're up to. And right now I've got Mario Felix with me. What's up, Mario?
How's it going, man?
Hey, brother.
Good to see you.
It's
thanks
really
for having
good to
me.
See you, man.
Absolutely.
We run into each other at tournaments and stuff.
Quite a bit, yeah. On the fields, absolutely.
But I haven't had a chance to have you on the podcast yet.
No, I'm excited.
So, now you just recently made a move, right?
I did, yes.
You were with our buddy Kai for, how long were you there?
Almost 3 years.
At Southern Utah.
Correct, yes.
Right, and now you just made a move. Where are you at now?
Yeah, I'm at the University of Missouri now.
Mizzou, baby.
Yes, M-I-Z.
Right
absolutely.
On.
Yeah.
Right on. How you enjoying it?
It's great, man. It was Steph Golan's been amazing. There was a little bit of a little bump in the road in my career, and at that time Steph had an opportunity for me, and I was grateful to just be able to be involved still in the game, and I've really enjoyed it. Andy's great, Kelsey's great, Heather Cairns, who was a Division I head coach for many years at Utah State, is our director of ops. So we have a very experienced, fun group of coaches and a great group of players as well.
And that brings you back to the Midwest, right?
Back to the Midwest.
That's correct. Where you started, right?
That's right, yeah. So I went to college in the Kansas City area. My wife is from Kansas City. Two of my three kids were born in Kansas City. So I spent a lot of time there, originally from California, that's how we headed back, but it was a time to just move back and be closer to family, absolutely.
Right on,
yeah.
That's kind of nice to have that homecoming.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Right on. Have you noticed a difference, of course you've noticed, what are some of the differences that you've noticed recruiting to Mizzou compared to maybe Southern Utah?
Yeah, so I mean, I've done my time in the mid-major world for a little bit, you know, UC Santa Barbara as well, and then a little short stint at Chicago. So for me, the recruiting has changed in terms of the athleticism of a player probably becomes one of the top priorities. In the mid-major conference levels, I think for us, we were always trying to find a mixture based upon how we wanted to play, right? And so we're kind of recruiting in terms of matchups, right? So what is Ole Miss doing? What is Arkansas doing? What is Alabama doing? And trying to kind of configure our recruiting class knowing what our opponents are doing. You know, everyone wants to make the national tournament. Everyone wants to make the conference tournament. So we have to put together the pieces that make matchups benefit us in the development of players for the 4 to 5 years that we have them. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good topic because, and I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast, you know, one of the complaints that we see if we're on Twitter or we're looking at what people are saying is that, oh, college coaches, all you care about is athletes. You just want the best athletes. And I would say, no. We want the complete player, technical, tactical, physical, and mental.
Absolutely.
And you cannot dispel the physical piece. It's like taking a leg off of your chair, right?
Right.
You have to have all of them to make it stable.
Right.
And so when we talk about a little bit about what you mean when you say it comes down to the athletic piece.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to negate anything else in terms of the technical, tactical, the soccer IQ of a player, right? And so in specifics to the athletic part of things is, I mean, if you watch, for instance, Alabama, right, made the College Cup, very, very good side. Wes Hart has done a phenomenal job with that program. They want to play. Right, they have the technical side, they have the tactical side. A lot of the players are really high IQ players on the pitch, but for them, they also have that one distinctive difference in a lot of opponents they played was there was athleticism, players that cover a lot of ground across the board, right? Sometimes you'll see maybe a first 11 with three or four players, that kind of match the athleticism, and you're like, okay, we have to prepare for them. But a side like Alabama, they were athletic everywhere. You can keep up with fast strikers, right?
Right.
They were able to manage the 1v1 moments that maybe sometimes you're looking to double up on a striker that is going to be challenging, right? They had the capability to go up the flanks. They had the capability to cover ground in the midfield, so you can sit with a true six that can kind of cover that space, allowing an athletic box to box that causes fits and overloads and mismatches. And so for us, we still want the technical player. We want a player that's creative and crafty, but you also have to be able to keep up with the game. You watch the UCLA,
right,
the North Carolinas, right? They've got all those pieces. And so basically it's a puzzle piece. And so how can you fit in maybe in an athletic 10 with a crafty 8? Right, that maybe kind of offsets the three midfielders, right? And so it comes down to is just how do we pair up? But you just have to keep up with the game. And when you get into the college, the national tournament, that's what it is, right? You have extremely athletic players with very high soccer IQ, and then you sprinkle in the capabilities of keeping the ball and being able to dictate the game depending on what the opposition gives you. And so within that recruiting process, it's important to for us to vet these players' abilities on the field, right, off the field, in the classroom, in terms of scouting reports. So what are you seeing when we're having our individual sessions, right? What are these things that we're trying to implement that you can transition into your training environment? And then college club coaches will fill us in.
Right.
This is a training environment. This is how they train. This is what they do well. This is what they don't do well. And so those kind of all encompass what we're trying to look for. Priority for us is trying to check off all those boxes at once. We all know that's not very easy.
Right.
But the first thing for us is, like, we have to keep up with opponents. And when you're in the SEC, there's a lot of athletic teams that like to play.
And it's the little things that we're talking about. It's like the ball is 4 feet from two players. Who wins that ball first, right?
Absolutely.
That little loose ball. And it is that athletic piece that allows that player to have that 3 to 4, 5 yard change of pace.
And I love that example. And so people have a misunstanding of what we say when we say athleticism. A lot of people think we're just talking about north-south straight sprint, right? And that's not the case. Athleticism is that lateral movement, that start, stop, the ability to challenge a ball in the air and still land, right? Without falling or fouling, bringing a ball down, controlled. And those things are all those little minute pieces that people just, when they hear, oh, we just want athletic players. Well, it's not just a sprint. I didn't say we want fast players, right? That's a given. We'd love to have fast players. But how can we put together a roster that has all those tools, maybe not all in one player, but the athleticism piece is amazing.
Well, it's all these little things. Look, we've all seen players that run with their arms in an awkward position, and it just doesn't look very athletic, and it slows them down.
Absolutely.
And, and it doesn't mean they're not technical, and it doesn't mean they're not really smart.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they can't pick out players and play the right balls. But when you compare them to the teams that you're going to have to beat now at Mizzou that you didn't have to beat.
Yes, Southern Utah.
You're not playing against the same teams.
Right.
And for everybody's listening, look, it really does come down to the conference, like you said,
oh,
Mario.
100%, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you can be ranked number 60 in the country and not make the tournament, and a team that's ranked 121st in the country makes the tournament because they won their conference.
And we see
tournament.
It a lot. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, I believe it's not 100%, but I believe we were 1 point away from being in the tournament this year.
Right.
We had our flights already set to Pensacola, and we were that close, right? And
right.
So it came down to our last game.
Right.
A&M's result, our result against South Carolina, a couple pieces. And so the conference is it's tough, top to bottom, right?
Right.
I think we had 6 teams in NCAA tournament this year, right?
Right. It's
and
an
so
insane conference.
There's maybe half a game in between each opponent where, you know, we played Auburn. Auburn was ranked. We got the result, right? And then we go and probably we didn't get a result against a couple games that we thought we might have or should have. But it all comes down to is just those little pieces that it's misunderstood what that definition is. And I like that we're talking about the athletic piece a little longer. It's just because I think people have to understand that there's variances of what athleticism is and how one or two pieces is a difference maker of us flying to Pensacola out of Columbia, South Carolina, or flying back to Columbia, Missouri,
right,
because of one or two pieces that are a difference for us in success.
And okay, so now at your level compared to the other levels that you've coached at,
yes,
now, because we're talking about kids trying to figure out how to get on your radar, mm-hmm, and other schools of Power 5 ilk, right?
Yes.
Trying to get on the radar. Is there a difference now in how Missouri handles kids at camps, or how you look at kids at camp as compared to other levels before? Look, and this is what I'm saying. Look, when I was at Cal State East Bay,
yeah,
Division II, we literally would pick up kids from the camp.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
kid shows up and they, yeah, go, yeah, better than our number 15 on the roster now. We'll take that kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I noticed at camps at your level is that a lot of kids will show up, but the quality of which they're playing against isn't necessarily there.
Understood.
So I'll get a kid, one of my clients will go, yeah, the coaches came up and they awarded me the best kid of the camp, best player of the camp.
Yeah.
As if that means that now they are wanted at that school.
Right.
But we got to remember that we're comparing maybe apples to oranges.
Correct.
Apples being our players.
Right.
That are going to make an impact for us.
And collectively,
and then oranges
the
being
campers,
you were the best player at the camp.
In the camp, correct.
Right. So how have you noticed that evolving as you take the steps?
So I've been fortunate enough to be at a couple institutions where our camps were never big. And it was intentional. We capped it off because we wanted to have a small group to where we had an opportunity to meet the players and really get to know them. Every institution I've been to, we have signed a player from camp that we had no idea who they were.
That's an important piece, that you had no idea who they were.
And we had no idea who they were. Now, mind you, we do have a very good idea for a lot of them, because a lot of times they're regional kids, and we have had tracking of who they are, so on and so forth, have probably a relationship with the club coaches. But I know, for instance, when I was at UC Santa Barbara, we had an individual come from Chicago, and she was stellar at camp, and we're like, oh my gosh, what is going on here, right? And, you know, I think it's important for athletes and clubs to do the research, right? If you're really interested in that school, do the research on the roster, do the research on the
Give
class
us an example of
in.
What you mean when you say do your research.
All right, so
maybe
if
two or three things that you could advise.
If I'm a junior or senior and I play 7-9-11, right? And I go on any institution that I'm interested in on the roster, and I see, all right, well, they have three sophomore strikers, they've got two juniors and one senior, a freshman, and maybe two or three freshmen coming in. Well, that's probably showing me that there's very little opportunity there because it's filled in that role, right? Now, one thing that I think is important for individuals to understand is, like, where is your flexibility? You know, if you're telling someone I'm a true nine and you have the ability to play 7-11, or you've played 7-11 and you might have the ability to play a 2 or 3, how are you marketing yourself and saying, hey, I'm going to attend this camp, but I also want this staff to know that I have a wider range of capabilities as to kind of pigeonholing myself to a position that I look on the roster and I see that there's already a lot of individuals on that roster or incoming that play that specific position, right? And so I think the research is extremely important, because I have been in institutions in the past where campers will come in and be like, hey, I play this position, I'm this class, and I'm interested in your institution. I'm like, oh, we just signed six kids in your class, and the class before you had three kids in your position, and there's
right.
no seniors in your position. And so, you know, me personally, I don't want to waste your time and money.
Thank you.
And
right.
And a lot of times there's this stigma of camps that are just a moneymaker, but there are a lot of moments where players, if it's not from the institution you're attending, that's why we bring out outside programs. There's been coaches that come to our events in other institutions that have signed kids, right?
Right.
And so you never know. It's just, how can I market myself and do my research on who's attending the camp, right? Not just maybe emailing the institution that's hosting the camp.
Right.
Who's attending the camp? Then maybe there's a follow-up. Hey, I saw that you're at XYZ camp. Did some research. I actually found myself really interested in institution.
Right.
Maybe never even knew who they were prior.
Right.
And that happens a lot, right? And so
right.
I think there's just people get very antsy, like, I have to find a home, I find a home, I have a home. But at times, it just takes a little more time and a little more research. And you say, I mean, club soccer is not cheap. We all know that, right?
Right.
And so you're saving your family time and money. You're saving an organization's time and money when you kind of start filtering out true fits.
Right.
Realistic fits.
Right.
So.
And this is some, tell me how you feel about this, because something I've said before, hardly a school in this country's ever really ever done recruiting. If you say we're done with our class, but I bring you a kid, now you may not have money for a kid, but if I bring you a kid who's your top three immediately, all of a sudden you've got an opening.
So, and then there's, and I'm
but
glad,
there may not be money
I'm
for
glad
it.
You worded it that way. I think there's also a misunderstanding of that right there, right? So a lot of times there's two things that can be communicated. Is we're done with our class or we don't have money, right? Those mean two different things. I think it's important to be transparent in saying, hey, we're done with our class.
Right.
But it's, hey, we don't have money. I think any institutions that goes about it the right way in terms of like, hey, I'm never going to say no. I'm always going to take a look. You never know. I mean, we've been in California, right? You
right.
go up to up north and you watch NPL and you're like, oh my gosh, there are gems here.
Right.
And no one knew about these kids.
Right.
Right? And so I think it's important to just never close a door. Southern Utah.
Honestly, that's almost every coach I've ever talked to.
Yeah, never close a door.
We're not done.
And
I just don't have any money for
it. Our saying at Southern Utah was turn over every stone.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah. Right? You're competing against right. UVU, BYU, right. Utah State.
Right.
You know, Dixie was a powerhouse in yeah. D2 for the longest. UNLV's right down the road. So you have to turn over every stone. And I think that Kai and I did a very good job at that. We brought in a very
yeah,
good
well,
class.
Team's winning.
Brought some Canadians in, you know, and thanks to you. And so
right.
Team's winning. People are happy. People aren't leaving. So you know you're doing the right thing. But for us, I mean, we were everywhere. I mean, I saw you every weekend,
right.
basically. I was everywhere. And so depending on where you're at and your resources,
right.
it's important to understand that, like, for players are listening, families are listening, is like, market yourself the right way and ask the correct questions. Are you done with the class or do you not have money, right? And a lot of times...
Well, and let's face it, none of us like to hurt people's feelings.
True.
An easy way of telling a not very good player is, we're done recruiting your class.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches use that
yeah.
as
yeah.
as a shuffle off.
Right.
Because I do notice that if I bring in a stellar late, all of a sudden they're interested. I thought you were done.
Yeah.
Well, no, they didn't want you. You don't fit them. And I kind of always describe it this way too, Mario, is that there's not a coach in this country who needs help finding another number 23 on their roster.
Right, right.
I got plenty of those kids down the street.
Yeah.
So I don't need to move a kid from California to Missouri to be number 27 on my roster
right.
who might be ready their senior year.
Right.
I can find that right down the road in Missouri. It's better for the family, better for the kid. I won't feel as bad if it doesn't work out and the kid transfers. But if I'm moving a kid from England or from Canada or from California, I kind of feel bad.
Right.
And
right.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's not good for the family.
I think it's important for transparency.
Yeah.
Transparency is important. And I think the way that you use your words, and I think, you know, at Southern Utah, a lot of times we would just say specifically, hey, we appreciate the interest. We are done recruiting your class, if we were, or a lot of times we would just say, hey, unfortunately, we don't feel as if you're a good fit. We wish you the best of luck.
I wish more coaches would use that phrasing, and they really don't.
And you know what? I see a lot of prospective student athletes respond with, hey, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that, right?
Yes.
Because you get the copy and paste blanket statement, hey, we appreciate it, we're done with the class, wish you best of luck. And it kind of leaves in the back of your mind like, hey, there might be a slight chance if I go to your school, enroll, and come walk on in the spring
right.
and this, that. So when you have that opportunity to just say, hey, you're just not a fit for us. we'll wish you the best of luck, and let bygones be bygones. And I think club coaches and parents really appreciate that. It hurts the player for a second. I understand that. You know, rejection's not easy, but it is the name of our game. And I think when you have a you're known for just being honest with you. You have club coaches more willing to start pushing people your way because they know they can trust an honest opinion on your evaluation of a player.
And I think it helps, man. And look, I always say every family just wants a yes, no, or a maybe.
Right.
Yes is great.
Yeah.
No is, it is what it is.
Right.
The maybe is, how do I turn that into a yes or a no?
Correct. Yes.
Come to my camp, I'll give you a firm yes or a no. Let me see you at this specific event that I'm going to be at, that you're going to be at, I'll give you a firm yes or a no.
Correct.
Because the kids just want to move on with their lives too.
Absolutely. You don't want to drag it around, right? You know, and so, yeah, I think that's it. And that maybe is tough because the maybe might be you're waiting to kind of see how things unveil within your recruiting class, knowing that that is probably going to be a no. But the family is thinking, well, it's a maybe, so how do I make it a yes, right? And then so for us, I think it's important to just, we just make it very transparent. It's either yes or no. If it's truly a maybe, then it's like, okay, it's a maybe because X, Y, Z.
Yeah, just tell me what I need to do to turn that into an answer.
You know, I mean, at Southern or at UCSB, we would say literally, hey, we're not making a decision yet. We're still interested in you. These are some of the variables we're looking at. We're still waiting on a couple answers. A couple offers are out. As it stands, we have no available money.
Right.
When these responses are back, then we'll know where we're at. So now you know where we're at. You're not waiting kind of. If, and another thing, and Paul was really great with this, was if you have found another home and it's a good fit, by all means, take that opportunity. But if we are in your top one or two and you still want to wait to see how things kind of iron out, then we'll stay in communication. And Paul was very transparent in our recruiting process, which I think I picked up a lot of that from just transitioning to Southern Utah. And then Kyle, obviously being a Gaucho before, working with Paul back in the day. So, you know, we kind of have that same ideology of like, let's just go ahead and just tell you what it is.
Right.
So in 3 months, you're not like, hey, just want to check in. And we had completely forgotten about you, or you had just, you know, and we all know, like, the amount of emails people get on a regular basis, especially around a national event.
Okay. How many emails would you estimate that you got before Florida?
Not a lot right now, because I'm in that volunteer role.
No, I mean, as a staff.
Oh my gosh.
So
when I was at UC Santa Barbara, I was probably getting 300, 400
before the event. And this is something I tell kids all the time. So of those 300, how many were a couple days before or the day
of? Oh my goodness, 75 the night before. And for me, basically I stopped putting players on a schedule 2 days before event. There's so much to filter through. What field, who's going where, what time, who's the club coach? This, that,
and an
other.
Assistant coach, that was your job,
that was
right?
My job.
To give
as
the head
recruiting
coach,
coordinator.
These are the guys you're going to go see.
Absolutely. And so when I have to go back in and, hey, I got these 75 emails the night before I'm flying to San Diego, I'm sorry, you know?
I saw a girl on Twitter the other day and she goes, she showed herself with a picture on the beach or something. She goes, I just finished emailing the coaches. It's the day before the
You're
event.
Already there. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Right.
And look, I was. What do you think? 3 weeks before would be great, right?
I think a week and a half out, because you know how scheduling goes.
Well, the scheduling changes.
It comes out late,
right?
Or it changes,
yeah,
so it's update us.
That's
but
true.
But as soon as you get it, send it.
Yep.
Because I'm just speaking for me, I have folders saved in my laptop. ECNL Phoenix, ECNL Tech, everything, so it's split up. So as soon as I get it, and I know I'm about to start my schedule, I just go into that folder. So no matter how many times you sent something, boom, you just popped in. So I just keep track of it, right? When I start getting bombarded 4 days, 5 days, 3 days before, it's like, hey, I'm going to try to filter through as much as I can. But you have to also understand, like, there's a process for us. There's logistics for travel, there's all these things. You're probably in a season You're trying to manage three or four things at a time. So when you send something 48 hours in advance to a national event, it's really hard to kind of trickle you in at times.
So 300 emails. No way you're seeing 300 kids.
No.
No way.
No.
How have you noticed on the staffs that you've been on?
Yeah.
How have you noticed, how do you determine who you're going to see and not?
Yeah, it's been different everywhere I've been.
Right.
So at UCSB, we almost tried to see everyone that sent us an email. It would be Goffin, who's at UCLA now, Paul Stump, and myself. And we would just divvy it out. Hey, you're at these fields, boom. And you're at these fields, boom, you're at these fields. Southern Utah was a little different. We had regions that we wanted to recruit. You have the WUI, so it's like, okay, let's find kids.
Western University Exchange?
Exchange, yes.
Right.
So basically the connecting states or within the Western region. So not saying we wouldn't recruit a kid outside the WUI, but we wanted to target a specific demographic that we knew would fit for these families financially.
Right.
We knew the club coaches because we were both from there and probably coached or played in those clubs.
Right.
And then it was an established relationship already. So we would target those kids that would send us emails from the WUI areas. And then from there, it was like, okay, I know this team, I know their quality, let's sprinkle them in. I know this side, I know this coach, let's sprinkle them in, right? And then from there, basically that was like day one and day two. Let's see as many as we can. And then day two, at that night, here's the list we're gonna continue to watch. And so it's kind of, it was a process, you know? And so maybe Saturday, Sunday, we're watching less games, we're watching the kids for the second time, or it's, hey Kai, these are the six kids I need you to make a decision on before we leave.
Right.
Don't worry about the next class. I have that. Please go make decisions.
Right.
And so function's just a little bit different. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, kids are just, they're just looking at the list.
Correct.
And they're just emailing every kid on the every coach on the list.
Absolutely.
Or only the Division I's on the list, or only the schools they know the names of on the list. But they're
right.
Emailing a lot of coaches, right?
Right. Right.
How can a player make their email stand out more than another kid to actually get you to come and see them?
Yeah, so, oh my goodness.
What would your just general advice be?
I think it's important to do your research. So here's a prime example. I use this a lot when I do camps. There was an individual that had the name the same as a musician, very popular musician.
Okay.
So in her header, it said, "Hello, it's me." Name the song.
The name of the musician.
That's correct. And it stood out. I'm like,
sure.
That's clever, right? It doesn't have to be this elaborate, articulate email. It could be, I'm so-and-so.
The subject line makes a difference.
Subject line makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because most of the time, it's the same thing.
If I put 35 goal scoring, you're going to at least look at the video.
I will. What can you do to market yourself in the header and the first two sentences?
Right.
I get an email that says, 5'10 center back, U.S. national team, ID center, da-da-da-da. Yeah,
you're
great.
You're going to look at the video.
But I also get an email that says, 26 goals, high school, all conference, CSL champion. Well, I know the CSL as a quality league, right? It's not the acronym leagues.
Right.
But I know that it's a quality league. So I'm at least going to take a look at it, right? Another thing is, this is me, very nitpicky, I notice everything. When an individual copies and pastes and the hello coach is in one font, and the copy and paste is another font, and they forget to change the city.
Right.
So it's like, hey, I'm interested in Southern Utah University. I love San Diego, California. Oh, wait, you meant to send this to San Diego State, you know? So things like that. Like, it doesn't have to be this long, 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 long story. I'm interested in institution. These are some things about me. This is why I think you should look at me. Here's my stats. Here's my film.
Right.
Then we start filtering through those things. A lot of times for us in the past, now mind you, I'm speaking all in the past because I haven't had this role with Mizzou, but the film, I would check the film. if you're trying to send me film prior to an event, don't make it longer than a minute, because I just told you how many emails I got, right?
Right.
Don't make it longer than a minute. Show your top 10 moments.
And don't wait 15 seconds into the film to show your best.
Start it.
If the last clip, I've done this so many times, Mario. I've looked at film, and a minute and 35 seconds in,
you see a banger.
Is the best clip.
Where was that?
Exactly.
You're
right?
Lucky I stood around, because most coaches won't sit around that long to find out.
Get the person that you're interested in, their institution, their attention. Your first three clips have to be your absolute best. I don't want to see a back pass as a 10 to your right. 6 as your first clip.
Right.
What does that show me? That shows me no quality characteristics of an attacking midfielder.
Give me a bone-crushing
Give
tackle.
Me something, Give me right? How about dribbling the 6 and finding a forward pass between the lines, right? Something that shows me a characteristic of your specific position and a quality and traits that are appealing to us.
Yes.
And you're right. I've sat there at late night sometimes, and I'll watch a whole clip of an individual. It sends me a 6-minute clip, and 4 minutes into it, they hit a 35-yard banger. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I hadn't watched this long, I wouldn't have came and watched you.
Right.
Cut that out. Get your attention. Right. You can send that extended film once we start establishing these relationships. But at this point in time, it's kind of like speed dating. Tell me who you are. Tell me your interests. And how are we going to move forward in this process?
Well,
the
thing
process?
About film, Mario, is supposed to be the best of the best.
Correct.
So if it's mundane and boring, then that the best of your best is mundane and boring. I don't need another one of those on my team. This is supposed to be, of the last year and a half of my life, this is the best that I am. And everybody, but anybody can make anybody look good. Yeah. We'll find out the details when I come and see you in person.
That email is to get us to go see.
Yes. That's it.
That's it.
Dude, this has been brilliant. We have talked about stuff that we haven't really talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really like it. I appreciate you coming by,
absolutely.
Mario.
Absolutely, anytime.
We'll be following your career as always.
I appreciate it very much.
And, we're a big fan, and we're always just supporters of you. I am.
Thank you.
We've become friends.
Yes,
And anything that, I always like having coaches at different levels where I can even bounce players off of,
right?
And I know you get those relationships with club guys.
Absolutely.
And so we talk about, I'll kind of wrap it up with this one, but players, if you've got a club coach that will be willing to advocate for you and you just need to, club coach thinks you're of this level, it's important maybe to have those club coaches just do a little reach out for you too and vouch for you,
100%.
Right? That make a difference?
100%. I think, one thing the club coaches have to do better at is marketing their players that deserve an opportunity. There is an institution for everyone. I think there's that D1 or bus mentality, man, it's got to change, because there are quality sides at every level. There are sides that need to get better at every level. But the club coaches, it's important to just say, hey, these are my players. Take a look at them. Because that, going back to that email, if someone gets our attention, before I would go look at a player, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call your club coach.
Right.
I'm going to ask about your training habits. I'm going to ask about what you do well, what are you struggling with. And if I'm connected enough in your region, I'm probably going to call a club coach that you play against.
Right.
Hey, how do they do in a match that you're up and this player does this? If I'm even lucky enough, I can call your high school coach. I got that from Kai. Do your research. Club coach, someone that coaches against you, someone that is around you in your environment that's not club. Because I really want to get a character reference. Like, film's great, getting our attention's great, but we got to know who you are as a person. Club coach is a great advocate. You're that first point of contact before me and a prospective student athlete.
And then club coaches, to all you club coaches out there, just know that when you do refer a player, it is your reputation on the line. Because we do know a few club coaches who every player can play at Stanford as far as they're concerned.
One other thing.
And let's be honest.
The club coaches, do your research on the level 100%. The comments of always, oh, she can play at your level, or this level's not for her, she's up here, up that. Let the player decide the level.
Thank you.
Give the reference of the characteristics of the player, personality, right?
Yeah.
And then let them determine that. Let the coach determine that.
Yeah, because there are club coaches that play gatekeeper.
Correct. there's a home for everybody. I'm serious, man. I've seen some really... I was at Westmont, and we all know how dominant Westmont is in the NAIA world. And there were some players on that team. We made it to the... We were four in the nation, made it to Elite Eight my last year at Westmont. And, I mean, we play UCSB every year and gave fits, you know. And I was in the mid-major level long enough to know, like, man, our Westmont team can compete with this team. Our Westmont team will probably beat this team. Our Westmont team is probably in the middle of the pack of this conference, right? Club coaches probably had no idea who Westmont was when I was there at times.
True.
They're like, oh, where's that at? Santa Barbara. Oh, how well do you guys do? Do you see these six stars across our crest? Yeah, those are national championships, right? So do your research and give some
time.
Yeah,
but you're NIA. My kid's a D1 kid.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that.
All right, we'll end it on that then.
Don, I appreciate you,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Mario.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, brother.